Greetings. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 5, chapters 23 through 25. Chapter 23. At that time, no small controversy arose because all the dioceses of Asia thought it right, as though by more ancient tradition, to observe for the feast of the Savior's Passover, the 14th day of the moon, on which the Jews had been commanded to kill the lamb. Thus it was necessary to finish the fast on that day, whatever day of the week it might be. Yet it was not the custom to celebrate in this manner in the churches throughout the rest of the world. For from apostolic tradition they kept the custom which still exists, that it is not right to finish the fast on any day save that of the resurrection of our Savior. Many meetings and conferences with bishops were held on this point, and all unanimously formulated in their letters the doctrine of the church for those in every country, that the mystery of the Lord's resurrection from the dead could be celebrated on no day save Sunday, and that on that day alone we should celebrate the end of the Paschal feast. There is still extant a writing of those who were convened in Palestine, over whom presided Theophilus, bishop of the diocese of Caesarea, and Narcissus, bishop of Jerusalem. And there is similarly another from those in Rome on the same controversy, which gives Victor as bishop. And there is one of the bishops of Pontus, over whom Palmus presided as the oldest, and of the diocese of Gaul, of which Irenaeus was bishop, and yet others of those in Osron and the cities there, and particularly of Bacchylus, the bishop of the church of Corinth, and of very many more who expressed one and the same opinion and judgment and gave the same vote. Chapter 24. These issued the single definition which was given above. But the bishops in Asia were led by Polycrates in persisting that it was necessary to keep the custom which had been handed down to them of old. Polycrates himself, in a document which he addressed to Victor and to the Church of Rome, expounds the tradition which had come to him as follows. Therefore, we keep the day undeviatingly, neither adding nor taking away, for in Asia great luminaries sleep, and they will rise on the day of the coming of the Lord, when he shall come with glory from heaven and seek out all the saints. Such were Philip of the 12 apostles, and two of his daughters, who grew old as virgins, who sleep in Hierapolis. And another daughter of his, who lived in the Holy Spirit, rests at Ephesus. Moreover, there is also John, who lay on the Lord's breast, who was a priest wearing the breastplate, and a martyr, and a teacher. He sleeps at Ephesus. And there is also Polycarp at Smyrna, both bishop and martyr, and Thrasius, both bishop and martyr, from Eumenia, who sleeps in Smyrna. And why should I speak of Sigeras, bishop and martyr, who sleeps at Laodicea, and Papirius, too, the blessed, and Melito, the eunuch, who lived entirely in the Holy Spirit, who lies in Sardis, waiting for the visitation from heaven, when he will rise from the dead? All these kept the 14th day of the Passover according to the gospel, never swerving, but following according to the rule of the faith. And I also, Polycrates, the least of you all, live according to the tradition of my kinsmen, and some of them have I followed. For seven of my family were bishops, and I am the eighth. And my kinsmen ever kept the day when the people put away the leaven. Therefore, brethren, I, who have lived 65 years in the Lord, and conversed with brethren from every country, and have studied all Holy Scripture, am not afraid of threats. For they have said, who were greater than I, it is better to obey God rather than men. He continues about the bishops, who, when he wrote, were with him, and shared his opinion, and says thus, And I could mention the bishops who are present, whom you required me to summon. And I did so. If I should write their names, they would be many multitudes. And they, knowing my feeble humanity, agreed with the letter, knowing that not in vain is my head gray, but that I have ever lived in Christ Jesus. Upon this, Victor, who presided at Rome, immediately tried to cut off from the common unity the diocese of all Asia, together with the adjacent churches, on the ground of heterodoxy. And he indicted letters announcing that all the Christians there were absolutely excommunicated. But by no means all were pleased by this, so they issued counter-requests to him to consider the cause of peace and unity and love towards his neighbors. Their words are extant, sharply rebuking Victor. Among them, too, Irenaeus, writing in the name of the Christians, whose leader he was in Gaul, though he recommends that the mystery of the Lord's resurrection be observed only on the Lord's day, yet nevertheless exhorts Victor suitably and at length not to excommunicate whole churches of God for following a tradition of ancient custom, and continues as follows. For the controversy is not only about the day, but also about the actual character of the fast. For some think that they ought to fast one day, others two, others even more. Some count their day as 40 hours, day and night. And such variation of observance did not begin in our own time, but much earlier, in the days of our predecessors, who, it would appear, disregarding the strictness, maintained a practice which is simple and yet allows for personal preference, establishing it for the future. And nonetheless, all these lived in peace, and we also live in peace with one another. The disagreement in the fast confirms our agreement in the faith. He adds to this a narrative which I may suitably quote, running as follows. Among these two were the presbyters before Soter, who presided over the church of which you are now the leader. I mean Aniketus and Pius and Telesphorus and Kistus. They did not themselves observe it, nor did they enjoin it on those who followed them. And though they did not keep it, they were nonetheless at peace with those from the diocese in which it was observed, when they came to them, although to observe it was more objectionable to those who did not do so. And no one was ever rejected for this reason, but the presbyters before you who did not observe it sent the Eucharist to those from other dioceses who did. And when the blessed Polycarp was staying in Rome in the time of Aniketus, though they disagreed a little about some other things as well, they immediately made peace, having no wish for strife between them on this matter. For neither was Aniketus able to persuade Polycarp not to observe it, inasmuch as he had always done so in company with John the disciple of our Lord and the other apostles with whom he had associated, nor did Polycarp persuade Aniketus to observe it. For he said that he ought to keep the custom of those who were presbyters before him. And under these circumstances they communicated with each other, and in the church Aniketus yielded the celebration of the Eucharist to Polycarp, obviously out of respect, and they parted from each other in peace. For the peace of the whole church was kept, both by those who observed and by those who did not. And Irenaeus, who deserved his name, making an Irenicon in this way, gave exhortations of this kind for the peace of the church, and served as its ambassador. For in letters he discussed the various views on the issue, which had been raised, not only with Victor, but also with many other rulers of churches. Chapter 25. The Palestinians, whom we have recently mentioned, that is to say, Narcissus and Theophilus, and with them Cassius, the bishop of the church in Tyre, and Clarus, the bishop of the church in Ptolemy, and those who assembled with them, treated at length the tradition concerning the Passover, which had come down to them from the succession of the apostles. And at the end of their writing, they add as follows, "Try to send out copies of our letter to every diocese, that we may not be guilty towards those who easily deceive their own souls. And we make it plain to you that in Alexandria also they celebrate the same day as we do, for letters have been exchanged between them and us, so that we observe the holy day together and in agreement." Here ends Book 5 and Chapters 23 through 25. And now we'll move on to some notes and commentary. These chapters concern the so-called Quarto Decimum controversy among early Christians. This controversy involved a dispute as to when the death and resurrection of Christ should be remembered and celebrated by Christians. The churches in the East celebrated this event on the original Passover date of Christ's Passion, in the month of Nisan, as it was recorded by the Jews, on the 14th day, thus Quarto Deciman, regardless of the day of the week on which it fell. The churches in Rome and the West, however, celebrated on the Sunday after Nisan 14, so that the commemoration of the death and resurrection of Christ was always concluded with the Sunday Lord's Day celebration. Chapter 23 introduces the Quarto Deciman controversy, noting that it was ultimately determined that the mystery of Christ's resurrection from the dead should be celebrated on no day save Sunday. Mention is made of a conference convened in Palestine, presided over by Theophilus of Caesarea and Narcissus of Jerusalem. Another statement came from Victor of Rome. Still more statements came from Palmus of Pontus, Irenaeus of Gaul, and Bacchylus of Corinth, among others. Chapter 24, however, describes Polycrates as the leader of the Quarto Deciman side in the controversy. A document that he addressed to Victor of Rome is cited, in which he claims the tradition came to him from early luminaries like Philip the Apostle, although here, as in other places in Eusebius, there seems to be confusion between Philip the Apostle and Philip the Evangelist. He also claims he got this tradition from John the Apostle, from Melito of Sardis, who is described as a eunuch here, and others. Polycrates also claims to be the eighth from his family to serve as a bishop, and that all of his kinsmen had kept this practice, as he had for over 65 years of his Christian life. In response, Victor of Rome attempted to excommunicate the Asian churches. Others, like Irenaeus, however, chided Victor for being too harsh, and noting that the controversy was not only about the date, but also how the commemoration of Christ's death should be observed. Irenaeus also reminded Victor that past bishops of Rome had been tolerant of this difference with the Eastern churches, and he notes in particular how Aniketus and Polycarp did not agree on this matter, but it did not disrupt their unity. Irenaeus is thus lauded by Eusebius as a great peacemaker, and thus this reflected his name, Irenaeus, one who brings peace. Chapter 25 returns to the decision on this matter by the churches of Palestine under Narcissus and Theophilus and others. A letter is cited from them which notes that the churches of Alexandria, the church at Alexandria, also held the same practice as they. Conclusion. These chapters are interesting on a number of levels. First, they demonstrate an early Christian interest in commemorating the death and resurrection of Christ. And this is claimed to be traced all the way back to the time of the apostles. Second, they demonstrate how the early church dealt with controversy and threats to its unity. In particular, this controversy shows an early difference between Eastern and Western churches and their practices. It is also noteworthy that Victor, the Roman bishop, has his actions and desires tempered by others, in this case, especially by Irenaeus, who comes off in the narrative as a hero for unity and the making of peace. Well, this brings this episode to an end. Hope this has been helpful and profitable, and I will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.